Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are working our way through the book of the Revelation. Not literally, yeah. Although sometimes it feels like
yeah.
it's
wonder. Yeah, right? Real life.
Real life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We are taking a literal approach to it, but we don't think we're living it right now because yeah. we see it as primarily future, right?
That's, yeah, exactly.
The approach that we take is a futurist yeah.
well,
approach.
Well, interestingly enough, there's a past, present, and future to the book. And we finished the past. We were working on the present last week, yep. and this week we finished that up, and then it's all future from then on. So it's kind of cool.
Yep.
So last week we finished the letters to the seven churches, and that would have been the present in John's time for what's going on. And it listed out like a bunch of different churches with their characteristics. We always want to see, are we one of these kinds of churches?
We don't want to be one of those kinds of churches.
But I do think there's a benefit that churches evaluate. What would Jesus say if he was writing us a letter?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a good thing.
Yep.
So now we're entering the third part of Revelation, which is all future. And John gets caught up in a vision.
Yep.
And in that vision, he is up in God's throne room.
Yeah.
Which Isaiah chapter 6, they're also in the throne room, and that's amazing to me.
Ezekiel chapter 1 sees the
you
same
keep bringing, thing. Every time I bring that up, you bring that up.
I know. Yeah.
So John...
Well, because that's the thing about the Revelation is it's so steeped in the Old Testament that if we didn't have the Old Testament or we're not familiar with the Old Testament, the Revelation is just really, really weird.
Yep.
And I admit there's parts of it that's really weird. But if we are grounded in the Old Testament, the Revelation is not as strange as you know.
Well, there's some comparisons it makes it out in there, to be.
Yeah,
right? That we see before, so it's all not brand new.
Yeah,
can be a good thing. So John sees the throne room, and he sees God's throne, which is amazing, and then he sees 24 thrones around it too. And by the way, there is so much detail in there in here, and we're going through five chapters. I'm either going to skim over the top and not do enough, or I'm going to dive in deep and we're going to be here for 3 hours, one of the two. but nothing in the middle there. So John is caught up in this vision, and he sees a scroll. And the scroll, only Jesus is worthy of opening. And it's very cool in there. Yeah, so this week we're continuing with the scroll, and we see that there's seals on this. So sometimes this is called the seal judgments on here.
Yeah.
And the idea is it takes somebody special to open each one of these seals, and each one of these seals you can undo the scroll to that point, and you can see what it is, but you can't do the next one until you do the next
seal. Break another seal, And it's very traditional to call each of these seals a judgment. That's what I was taught forever, and I taught that for a long time. I don't do that quite so much anymore because sort of like a scroll, as you're unrolling the scroll, it seems to me that this scroll is going to overview the entire 7 years of tribulation, of the tribulation. So
that's another difference because old school or current teaching, however you want to say it, is these judgments are usually thought of as the first half of the tribulation.
Right.
And versus all of
the trumpets and the bowls will be in the second half.
Right.
I think it's really an overview. And that sort of fits the concept of the broad chronology we're working through, but sometimes we see the whole thing, sometimes we see a section, and then a section here, and then we're going to come back for a little bit more explanation and jump
around. So you had said that, I think, in the first week, where we seem to jump, and then we come back and go through it again, and that's kind of what we're doing
explanation
here.
Explanation and stuff,
Yep. All right, so what are these seals, right? There's seven of them, and the first four actually has riders and horses in there. The four horsemen
of the apocalypse.
The
four horsemen of Notre Dame.
but that's where it came from. So the first rider is a rider on a white horse, and it has a bow. And we need to notice that there's no arrow.
Yeah.
So the concept there is white meaning peace.
Pure
or peace.
Yeah.
And the concept is somebody is going to come to this earth and probably gather nations together under one nation without war.
Yeah.
Which is rare.
Yeah.
But it does happen every now and then.
Yeah.
And is this a good guy or a bad guy?
This is a bad guy. This is probably the beast system that we're going to talk about next time. The one world government. It's
this is the basis, right?
Yeah,
the consolidation
after the church is raptured, after the church is taken, Christians or Jesus comes and gets Christians. The world is going to have to respond to that. right? And so there's a system, and there will be one guy, and he'll come up out of that system, whatever. But I think this isn't necessarily just a person, right?
But
because of the other writers, you know, war and death and everything aren't a person, right? It's a concept. This is what's going to happen at the beginning as the scroll unrolls. We have peace, and then we move on to seeing how things progress.
Yeah. So the second rider is actually war.
Yeah, we get into it pretty quick.
Yeah, so the horse is red, so as you would expect, it's war, and I think it's interesting. I think it says peace is taken from the world.
Yeah, it's the opportunity or the permission to take peace from the earth, which means there was peace, which helps us understand the first one better.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So the third one, the rider's on a black horse and has balance and scales, and then talks about how much wheat is going to cost and barley is going to cost. And as you can imagine, after a war happens, there's going to be famine.
Yeah.
And as part of famine, the cost of goods is going to spike.
Yeah.
And you kind of see, and you see that here.
Yeah, it's interesting that the wheat and the barley is going to be very expensive, but the wine and the olive oil is not, which means there's probably, which happens in war, there's a disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Right.
So the rich people are not going to be as affected as poor people will be,
right?
Which is always what happens in war.
Right, and then if war happens and famine happens, death is following.
Yep, and you see the scroll unrolling, just sort of laying it out, right?
Yeah, so the fourth horse is green and pale, and death and Hades.
Are
following in there.
Yep.
And it says they were allowed to kill a fourth of the population.
Yep.
And it could be by war, it could be by famine, disease. And wild animals, which is significant enough to put in. Which I know.
Again, it makes sense, right? You've got war, you've got famine, you've got carrion birds, you've got wild animals eating people, you've got rats all over the place, think the Black Plague, you've got all of this stuff.
So doing the math, 8.1 billion people on the earth right now, taking away a quarter, that's over 2 billion people, 2.25 billion.
Yeah.
And you know, the quarter billion is really 250 million.
Yeah.
So an incredible amount of people are
That's after the rapture already. So we don't know how many millions or hundreds of millions of people are going to be raptured. So the population's down, so the percentage is a little smaller, but it's still a quarter of the population of the earth, right?
So is this an event that a quarter of the people die, or do you think
I think it's part of the whole is that a quarter of the population will die just from this. It doesn't include the other things, natural deaths. Right. It doesn't include other, you know, what Satan's going to do, what other stuff that God is going to do. That is just from war and famine and, you know, pestilence and stuff.
Okay. The fifth one, John sees under the altar, and he sees everyone, the martyrs of God.
Yeah.
And each one was given a long white robe and told, hey, wait a little bit longer. You know, we know you're waiting, you know, how long, but you need to wait a little bit longer. And they need to wait until the full number is reached. So I'm assuming that is the full number that is actually going to accept God into their lives. And that would be the full number, or is it going to be the full number of martyrs, do you think?
I think it's the full number of martyrs, because the context is they're asking, when will you avenge us? When will you avenge our deaths? When will you avenge our martyrdom? And it's like, wait until the full number comes in. And so that would be, it wouldn't be martyrs from the Old Testament. It wouldn't be martyrs from the church.
That was going to be my next question.
The church martyrs are raptured, resurrected, and everything already. This is just those who are killed during the tribulation for their faith in Jesus.
Okay. So I think we're going to call them tribulation saints. So we might as well make that distinction.
We're going to make a distinction.
We'll refer to Old Testament saints, Christians, and tribulation saints.
And Christians, sometimes I call church saints, just so that we have. Okay. So Old Testament saints, church age saints, tribulation saints.
Okay.
And so then as we move into the future, there will also be kingdom saints or millennium saints.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then the sixth, seals. The sixth seals open, and there's earthquake, sun becomes dark. So these are natural disasters that are happening here.
But
except the full moon is blood red.
Yeah, right. By natural.
Stars fall. Okay.
Huge earthquakes, hailstones. Right. But we see these things prophesied in Joel. We see these things happening at the end, like chapter 16. So again, I think as the scroll unrolls, I think this is like end of tribulation type stuff.
So the sky is split.
Yeah.
I don't really want to know what that means. Mountains are moved.
Yeah.
I mean there's some significant things happening.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
kind of unbelievable. So yeah. That's chapter 6.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I got to pick it up a little bit. I do like in chapter 7, I think it's a good example why Revelation is so much fun, it's not the right word, to read. But in the beginning, it's about God sealing 144,000 Jews.
Yeah.
But I still like the beginning. It's got a little tidbit where four angels are standing over the four corners of the earth, and they're holding back the wind.
They're holding back, yeah.
And then more angels are talking to each other, and an angel comes down and yells, hey, you guys can't damage the earth until we're done sealing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, what's interesting is when we get into chapter 8 here in a second, the trumpet judgments will be damaging trees and plants and waters and everything. Yeah. So I think they're standing ready to let this stuff go.
I'm going to go. Oh,
ready to go. Wait. Hold on a second. It's not time yet.
Okay. But we have a ceiling. So there are going to be 144,000 people who are going to be specifically sealed.
Yep.
So what's the ceiling? Who are these people? What's their purpose?
So we take this very literally. It lists 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, very specific by name. 12,000 per tribe. These are
people. So they're all Jews.
They're all Jews, right? So at some point during the beginning of the tribulation, these will come to faith in Jesus. I don't know exactly how. There's not a lot of information given.
Right.
So they'll come to faith in Jesus, and they will be sealed as servants of God. We don't know exactly what that means.
This is more different than the Holy Spirit entering a normal tribulation saint at this point.
But. Right, yeah. So this is not the same as an indwelling Holy Spirit. It may have something to do with the Spirit. It may be a physical thing on their forehead. The mark of the beast that comes later, is probably going to be a counterfeit of this, right? Yeah. It may offer some kind of supernatural protection. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we find out later, like 14 or 15, God's name and Jesus' name
So it's definitely a mark of ownership, a mark of identification, a mark
mine.
Of security. Yeah, that type of thing. A lot of people think that these then become evangelists during the tribulation to preach the gospel. Again, it doesn't say that, but it says they will be servants, and so it's possible.
Yeah. Okay. So at the end of chapter 7, John sees an enormous crowd.
Yeah.
Now, he just talked about 144,000, and he didn't say it was enormous.
No.
And this crowd's enormous. So
that nowhere could count.
Yeah.
So much bigger, right?
Yeah. So we must be at the end of the tribulation. So,
right.
So we've jumped forward.
Well, so that's that thing, right?
I went out of the picture.
So you've got your 144,000 that are sealed before any of the destruction. But now you've got this great multitude that no one can count. And they're not just Jews. They're from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne, you know, the whole thing. And they've come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So this is a perfect example of, in even the same chapter, just like we saw in chapter 5, beginning and end. Now in chapter 7, we have pictures of the beginning and the end. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to chapter 8, we're opening the seventh seal. Jesus opens the seventh seal. And this is actually the start of a new set of, I'll call them judgments.
Yep.
And you can correct me.
No, I think this one, these really are judgments.
Yeah. So the seals open and there's silence in heaven for a half an hour.
Okay. Now, when I teach this, when I teach the Revelation in Hungary, I always ask. And in fact, it's...
I have no idea, but I think a joke is coming.
I always ask, I say, how do you know, I'm going to get in trouble for this, how do you know that men are going to be raptured before women? Because there's silence in heaven for a half hour. Okay. And I always...
Yeah, HR will be coming up shortly.
But yeah, so I think you said something along the lines of like the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
Right. It kind of seems that way, right? And this is significant.
Yeah.
You know, let's pay attention here.
Well, let's compare this to chapters 4 and 5. All of heaven, hundreds of thousands or millions or whatever of angels, the living creatures, the 24 elders, they're all worshiping. They're holy, holy, holy. There's like this cacophony of noise in chapters 4 and 5. And all of a sudden, literally, somebody just shuts down heaven.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes or half hour in heaven, 30 earth minutes, whatever. Silence
Right.
Is almost louder than...
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
The thing. Yeah.
And remember, this is God's wrath that's being poured out onto the world.
Yeah.
So...
Very somber, very solemn.
And that's a part of it, too.
Yep, right, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
So there's a lot of thirds here, but there's seven angels who stand before God. Each are given a trumpet. They blow the trumpet, and
a judgment happens, which is one of the reasons I don't consider the seals judgments anymore, because those are not like events. They're, you know, there's wars, there's death.
So
there's
this is do, do, do.
Yeah. Yep, and something happens in response to the trumpet.
Yeah, so the first something happens is hail and fire are mixed with blood and thrown to the earth.
Yep.
And a third of the earth is burned up.
Yep.
And all the green grass is burned up.
Yep. Third of the trees, third of the earth, and all the green grass, which automatically changes industry. Changes environment.
Right.
Changes
how are you going to feed cows? How are you going to...
The water cycle,
okay.
Right? Changes oxygen levels. It changes everything, and we haven't started yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two, something like a great mountain of burning fire was thrown in the sea.
Yep.
So a third of the sea becomes blood, a third of the creatures living in the sea die, and a third of the ships are destroyed.
Yeah.
So like you said... Economy,
industry, everything.
Moving things. So grain that's moved from the United States to other places is probably no longer going to be shipped.
So you've got a third
of this gone.
Yeah, a great mountain of burning fire. Could be a meteor, comet, some kind of something that comes in. Yeah.
Well, funny enough, the third one, a huge star named Wormwood, burning like a torch, falls from the sky, lands on a third of the rivers, and so now you don't have any clean water.
Fresh waters, right? Because in the number two, it was the sea waters, salt waters. Now you got fresh waters are affected, and they're not turned to blood in this one. They're actually poisoned.
Yeah, many are died from poison.
Yeah, water. Toxic.
And then the fourth one, a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So we're darkened. Yep. So no light for a third of the day. How do you? You can't do things.
Yeah.
Right. Growing crops is going to be impossible. Hard, if not impossible.
Yep.
Man.
And then an eagle. Now, there are some manuscripts, I think, where copyists, as they're copying this, they're like, I don't think that's supposed to be eagle. I think that's supposed to be angel. So there's some translations that say angel here.
Interesting.
And some that say eagle. So if yours says angel, I'm not reading a typo type thing. Mine actually says eagle. An eagle flies overhead and says, whoa, 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 to those who live on the earth because of the sounds of the remaining trumpets that are about to blow. He says, essentially, he says, these first four weren't bad enough.
Right.
These next three are actually going to be woes, heavenly woes on the earth.
So now we have the woes that are part of the trumpets, but they're woes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is chapter 9.
Yeah, sorry. We do go into another chapter.
Yeah.
Right. So a star falls to the earth and is given a key to the shaft of the abyss.
Yeah.
So we got to read into this, right? Is it a physical star, or is it an angel that is kicked out of heaven and falls to the earth?
Yeah, so stars and angels are linked frequently in the Revelation, so I don't think that that's a leap at all, especially because you don't hand a star something, a key, right? So this star, this fallen angel, this whatever, has capability, has thought, can hold a key, can unlock something. There's some personality there. So I don't think saying it's an angel is out of line at all, yeah.
Okay, so the shaft of the abyss is opened to allow a specific creature to come out.
Yep.
And John doesn't say it is a locust. He says it's like a locust.
Yeah.
So that's as close as he could come to it.
So what's interesting, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but chapter 9 is the chapter of... There are more uses of the word like in chapter 9 than there are any other chapter in the Bible. John is seeing stuff that he can't believe he's seeing. He doesn't have words for it. So he uses, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this. This is one of the ways that when we use a literal, grammatical, historical interpretation, we're focusing on the grammatical part here. John, like you said, John doesn't say, this is what they are. He says, this is the best I can explain it to you.
Right.
And so we take that literally based on, John sees, he says they're like locust. So we take a literal locust. We say, what is a locust like? And then we unpack it from
yeah,
there.
Yeah. And this locust has a scorpion tail, too, yeah, by the way. Yeah, which, of course, it would.
Yeah. There's no doubt. It's weird. I mean, yeah, it's got like women's hair, like yeah, a person's yeah, face, like a lion's, you know, whatever. Okay, so we take all those literal elements yep, together and say, yeah, we can't describe it any better than you did.
Yeah, and this is a bad thing. And the bite is great enough that people want to die yep, and they try to die. And for whatever reason, in this period of time, they can't die.
Yeah. So that's part of God's judgment. So, you know, whereas locust typically eat green yeah, things, grass and everything, these are allowed to attack or commanded to attack unbelievers and only unbelievers. Right. So maybe that seal that we were talking about in chapter 7 yep, protects, right, you know, people. And maybe even believers more than the 144,000 end up getting that seal. You know, these were sealed at the beginning, but, you know, whatever, because it says that don't have the seal of God on them. So they're attacking unbelievers, and unbelievers are going to want to die. And God will actually, as part of his punishment, will actually take death away as yeah, a possibility. They will try to kill themselves and not be able to be successful yeah, for 5 months.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to keep doing damage to themselves. So how much right, worse are they going to be off
right,
trying to do it and not being able to do it?
Right.
And that's just number 5.
Right. So we get a great description of locusts, and we get a name of the demon king of the abyss.
Yeah.
Apollyon?
Yeah,
Apollyon. There's a number of names in there.
Yeah, Apollyon or Abaddon.
Abaddon?
Yeah, and it depends on, though it's the exact same name. It's just Hebrew and Greek.
That's destroyer?
And it's destroyer. It means destroyer, yeah. Yeah, some people think that is Satan. Some people think it's sort of like a high-ranking general in Satan's army type thing. But yeah, it's a pretty bad dude.
All right, so the sixth one is the second woe. A third of the remaining people are going to be killed
yeah,
with this. So there are four angels who have been prepared well in advance yep, that are planted, bound by the Euphrates River.
Yeah.
They're going to be let loose.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's
and it seems like they're going to have an army of 200 million demons.
Yeah.
And there'll be some control, and then these demons will take out a third of the world, right?
Yeah. So here's another fun fact. So John in chapter 7 says there was an enormous crowd, too numerous to count.
Yeah.
But apparently 200 million is not too numerous to count.
Right.
So this 7-year period, in my estimation, this 7-year period is going to be the greatest period of evangelism and response right, to the gospel than any other rolling 7-year period, probably in world history.
Well, we're going to get to a point where you're either a tribulation saint or you're not.
Yeah.
And there are two sides.
Yeah.
And they're definitely against each other, but the tribulation saints aren't not going to be fighting a war like we would think.
Yeah. But sometimes we think of this as, you know, oh, everybody's going to die, and there's, you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people saved during this time, which is really a good thing, because as we're in the church age today, we're thinking of all the people who are rejecting the gospel. Well, they will have the chance to believe.
Yeah. And at the end of this chapter, John takes that same path. He's thinking about humanity too. So even though a third of the people are going to be killed by demons, the rest of the world doesn't repent.
Yeah, a lot of people will not repent.
So, yeah.
So you can sort of see, sort of similar to Pharaoh back in Exodus, every time one of these miracles or one of these yeah, judgments comes, it just hardens their heart yeah, a little bit.
He's doubling
more.
Down.
Yeah.
And not yep, going to change.
And people are going to do the same thing.
Yeah. All right, so chapter 10, it always cracks me up, but there's a powerful angel descending from heaven, and there's a great, you know, he's got a,
yep,
a rainbow, and he's holding a little scroll,
yeah,
and I don't, yeah, I know,
yep,
that little scroll is,
you know, what's
funny,
interesting, it's a different Greek word than the scroll that Jesus has, or that Jesus is opening in chapter 5, that God has,
yeah,
completely different Greek words. This is a, like a little scroll, it's like, here, okay, you know, it's not a big one.
And this one is already open,
yep,
and God says, whoa, we're not telling you about this.
Yeah. There are more questions than answers in this chapter. There's no yeah, doubt about it.
Yeah. So John ends up eating the scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows about it. It's sweet as honey is his mouth, but it turns his stomach sour.
Yeah. You know, this has a link back to Ezekiel, because in Ezekiel, I think chapter 3, same thing. Eat this book, eat this scroll, and then prophesy
yep,
what comes out. Now, we're not told exactly what this is.
Right.
But and I'm not going to say it today, but next time I'm going to make a link between chapters 10 and next week's readings. Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm just going to leave the scroll there for now. So right. You have to come back.
So I know we ran through this quick. Take your time with it. You're reading a chapter a day. There are a number of things in here, but start with literal, grammatical, historical.
Yep.
And you can work your way through. And it is going to take more than once for this to make sense.
And if you have a Bible that has cross references where it says, "Oh, look at this Old Testament passage," it's worth looking at this Old Testament passage just to see where some of this is coming from, and maybe get a little bit more explanation.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest thing is we know about this, but we're not going to be taking part of it.
Yeah, no, this is after the rapture. Yeah. This is, you know, but what it should do, 2 Peter 3 says, knowing what is coming, how should this cause us to live today? You know, that's what it's about.
That's a really great thing.
So, take your time with it. As you have questions, you might have questions in the book of the Revelation, feel free to send them in here or make comments. And we love to field those for you, help you understand it a little bit better. We'll see you back here next time.
Bye, everybody.